Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, season 2021. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. We've made it. As I hit the record button, today is Sunday, January the 3rd, 2021. I got an email from a new listener. Always happy to get new listeners and even happier. Yeah, that's true. I started to say, well, maybe not. Happier to hear from them. Gentleman is in the religious vocation. Wanted to know a bit more about my background. Said it seemed obvious to him that I was a man of some faith and conviction. Asked if I had ever done an episode kind of giving my story, as he called it, and realized I'd not done that. If it's interesting to him as a new listener, it might be interesting to you too. How much will I reveal? I don't know. We'll see. It's coming up next. As always, you can find information, past episodes, pretty much whatever else you'd care to find, by going to the website leaningtowardwisdom.com. You can also go to my personal website, which is the one that I directed him toward, randycantrell.com. Yeah, just like it sounds. I don't know. You know, it's this is not going to be an episode, I'm going to tell you right now, where I'm going to kind of hold forth and give you lock, stock, and smoke and barrel everything about me, except he had some questions about podcasting, how long I'd been doing it, and that sort of thing, and he has some interest in the medium. So I'll begin there. I'm not going to dive too far back. I put my first audio online, and I did it under the auspices of Leaning Toward Wisdom. I did not yet own the domain name. I didn't know that you could go register domain names. This was in the mid-90s. And in fact, if memory serves, it was about 1997 when I put my first audio file online. And I did it just when you signed up and got internet connection. And we had these things called modems. And they made these horrible sounds. And it basically connected through your phone line. And of course, it was incredibly slow. Now, we didn't know that at the time. And when you signed up for internet, you would be given kind of your own web page. Now, it had an address that was ridiculously as long as my arm. And it was just made up of a bunch of characters, a bunch of numbers, and it meant nothing. Unbeknownst to me, you could go and register a name, like, say, randycantrell.com, and use that page. Well, I didn't. That was all way over my head at the time. I felt like I was doing pretty good to just build a website. Taught myself enough HTML, which is basically the code that the web is written in. Learned enough about that to kind of get by, and had a real ridiculously ugly, rudimentary kind of a website. And I had always carried with me recorders. Now, back in the day, I was first in line getting a micro cassette recorder. Prior to that, we just had full size cassettes. And I was in college, I was in the mid-70s, And I was working in consumer electronics, and the store where I worked at, we were a Sony dealer, and Sony came out with this thing called a microcassette. Well, I thought, well, now I've got to have one of those. I mean, this thing, it takes itty-bitty cassettes, and you kidding me? 30 minutes on a side? Not nearly as big. And I took that to class with me, and I would record lectures and whatnot. I would make notes to myself as well. So I've done that kind of activity all my life. I have journaled almost all my life. Now, my journaling doesn't look like what some people's may look like. Write in it kind of every day, and you're just kind of writing like a diary. I've not done that. My journaling looks very different. My journaling is, you know, when the mood hits and if I've got something that I just want to get out of my head and I want to get it down on paper, and I do. I write. And sometimes it's just pure brain dump. Sometimes it's just stream of consciousness kind of stuff. And by and large, this is not stuff that I've ever shared with anybody. So I'm carrying these microcassettes. Well, eventually the microcassette gave way to digital recorders, where somehow, miraculously, these little devices, you could just record your voice and it just stored it in the device. And you could export that by way of a cable into your computer. Well, now I thought, well, I'm onto something here. And the first audio that I put online was recorded into a handheld digital recorder. And I don't remember if it was Olympus or something. All I remember is that the format of the file itself, like the file that you're listening to me on, is called an MP3. Means nothing. It's just, it's kind of the standard format that podcasts are recorded in. Well, this is long before we knew anything about that. And this thing had some particular kind of format. I don't remember. It was some proprietary thing. It was a Microsoft format, or it was an Olympus digital format. It was something funky. And I remember uploading it, and it wasn't the most friendly thing to try to click play through the internet. And of course, internet speeds being what they were, this was cumbersome. But this was the early days of the internet. Now, for about 2 years prior to that, I had been writing, kind of doing a little bit of online journaling. It wasn't called blogging. It was called journaling. And then those of us that figured out, hey, audio, what about audio? The initial terminology that I remember was audio journaling. These would later become known as blogging and podcasting. And I did it under the auspices of Leaning Toward Wisdom. I did not yet own the domain name. And I did it mainly as just some thoughts in my head. My kids who were in high school, I thought, well, you know, one day they'll listen. They were listening then, but it was just some thoughts of a dad and a husband trying to just pass on some stuff. Because I thought, you know, you put it out here on the internet and it's out there. Well, man, audio. And one of my first thoughts is I thought about all the people, particularly the older people, who are already gone in my life. Now, I've obviously, since 1997, I've lost many, many more. But I thought, man, wouldn't it be great? Because it's always great. Isn't it great to, I love watching these old videos. I mean, you watch this stuff on TV, and you're watching, you know, these famous people. But in my life, I'm thinking of the not-so-famous people, but the people that were famous to me, people that I loved. And I thought, can you imagine listening to what your grandfather or your great-grandfather or your great-great-grandfather might have to say about something? I don't know why my head went there, but my head went there, and I thought, that's... I don't know. I mean, this is pretty terrific. This whole internet thing is pretty terrific. I was not one of the first, I will be very quick to point out, who was thinking about how to monetize, how can we leverage this thing for business? I didn't think that. My head immediately went to legacy. My head immediately went to posterity. My head immediately went to passing on things, which was why I had written down one day, leaning toward wisdom because it was the goal. It was the objective. I never have claimed to have it. I don't suppose I'll ever reach a point where I'll claim to have it. I'm just hoping to lean more toward it. At some point, I registered the domain, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I paid a person to design a site for me. It's the one and only time I've ever done that. And it was a perfectly good experience. A young man had moved up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area from Austin. I don't remember how I found him, but I told him, here's what I want to do. And he built, I had been using Blogger and some other things. This was well before WordPress kind of became the thing. I was really using Blogger. He was using a platform called Expression Engine. And it was perfectly legit and it was perfectly fine. I was just not accustomed to it. And the design was built on that. And after about a month, I found myself not producing content like I had been. I just kind of fell out of the habit. And it was because the platform was just, I don't know, it wasn't cumbersome. It was just different. And it was just one little impediment that kept me, got me out of the routine. And so I thought, okay, I'm ditching this. I'm going back to Blogger. Eventually, I worked my way to WordPress, and the rest is history. Here we are. So that's how the audio stuff came to be, and I was always into audio anyway. I was a stereo hi-fi salesman as a kid, and so audio was always really important to me. Music and sound really mattered. The context really mattered, and for me, listening to people talk or having conversations, the context was always a really big deal. And so hearing something as opposed to reading something, and I love to read, but sometimes, and I think it's mostly completely the fault of me as being just such an ill-skilled writer, the context and the tone of voice can matter when those of us that are not as adept with writing to be able to convey as properly as we would want to. Yeah, it's just kind of easier to hit the record button and throw it out there for people that are chumps like me. But I've always written, and I've always, the spoken word has always mattered to me, listening to people and having deep conversations. Those are just in my DNA. So that's kind of the genesis of Leaning Toward Wisdom, and enough of the backstory with the podcasting and things. I grew up in a Christian home. I was raised by Christian parents. My grandparents on my mother's side were also people of faith. And it goes back even to great grandparents. And beyond that, I can't tell you. And so I'm very fortunate that quite literally, and of course I was responding to this gentleman, a gentleman of faith himself, who has become a new listener, and I'm pleased. I'm pleased and, well, more than pleased. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in that God was sort of delivered to me on a platter. I did not have to go searching for God because I had Christian parents who thankfully, as I record this, are both still living. My father is 97. My mother is 88. And I was taught the truth. I was taught the Bible. I was taught about God. I was taught about why Jesus came to earth. I was taught about the church that the Lord established. I was taught all that. And I taught that to my children. Now I'm teaching that to my grandchildren. So that's the faith part of it. And without sounding, I don't know how it would sound, but without sounding some way that would be detrimental, as a person of faith, it clearly is the priority. And the reason is very simple. And the phrase that I have kind of honed in on for the last 5 to 10 years of my life that I have told people in my life, eternity changes everything. The reason for the importance in my life is because eternity changes everything. You know, if you think about it like this, if someone were to offer me behind door number one, you can go through that door and you can have some peace and joy and whatnot for a week. You interested in going through door number one? Well, what's behind door number two? Well, behind door number two, you can go behind door number two and you'll have peace and joy forever. Well, why would I pick door number one? I wouldn't. No one in their right mind would pick door number one if you fully understood that. And that's the eternity game, okay? That's where eternity makes all the difference in the world. So temperance, what the Bible calls temperance, which we call self-control, self-sacrifice, not just doing what you want to do, which I realize is how most people define happiness. Happiness is, you hear it almost daily, happiness is being able to do what you want, when you want, on your own terms. Well, that's just colossally selfish when you really stop and think about it. And not only that, it's not even good for us. So, yes, door number one, a week of happiness and joy and peace and whatever else. And behind door number two, those same things, but forever. Well, give me forever. Well, you got to pay a price to get behind door number two. And that price is you can't just, in this life, do everything that you want to do. You've got to control yourself. You've got to try to live an upstanding, what the Bible calls a righteous life. So there's the faith context, and there's the reason why I believe that that should be the priority in life. And the Bible tells me so. And I happen to believe the Bible. And I realize that not everybody chooses to believe that. But to each his own. So that's my story. And as the saying goes, I'm sticking to it. Over at the website, randycantrell.com, I'll update that. Oh, not just every whip stitch, but I'll update it pretty often. You can go over there and check it out on your own. The headline is what I'm up to at the moment. And aside from just initially greeting people and saying, hey, here's probably what brought you here. What probably brought you here is a podcast, either leaningtowardwisdom.com or growgreat.com, which is the work kind of related podcast. The leadership coaching that I do is over at growgreat.com. And I throw a couple of quotes in. I must clarify this, and I did so on the website. You have likely heard this passage, and you've likely heard it attributed to the German philosopher Goethe. And I learned even probably around the age of 20, probably around the age that I got married, that it was not him who said it or wrote it, but rather it was another gentleman by the name of William Hutchison Murray. And I've liked it forever, but I've also looked at it from my Christian faith perspective. And I realized within the last 18 months or so that some people look at this and view it very much like the law of attraction or the secret. And for me, the law of attraction and the secret are so counter to the scripture. They are so counter to the Bible. They basically are, well, it's basically us as human beings saying we're God. We don't need a God. And maybe we even can think there is no God because we ourselves are God. And for me, it really is not a quote or a phrase about the human ability to bend the universe to our will, which is impossible for us because we are not the authors of the universe, but God is. Nor is it about really putting ourselves in control of providence because, well, that's God's domain. I am not in control of providence. I don't know about you, but it's I'm quickly reminded every single day that I'm not in control. But I do think, and I have always looked at this passage, this quote, in the context of the power of a mind made up. And I have learned, the older I've gotten, it's extraordinary. The power of a mind made up to be defiant, to be rebellious, to be bitter, to be hateful, to be sinful, or the power of a mind made up to be just the opposite of those things. And I have always viewed this passage through that lens. And like I said, until maybe 18 months or so ago, it had not honestly dawned on me that people were using this, and I have no way of knowing how the author intended it. I mean, this is old, old, old. The Bible calls this making up our mind, especially if we make up our mind to change our heart and serve God, it calls it repentance. It's a change of heart that produces a change in behavior. So I'm going to encourage you to read it in that context when you see it. And here, allow me to read it to you. And you've read this before and you've seen this before, but I felt like now it's probably time to add that context to it because, well, like I said, it had never dawned on me to read this under the context of I'm a human and I have the power to bend the universe to my will. But I realize that we're living in a day and age, and frankly, we've always had a day and age where people feel as though they have that kind of power. I'm painfully aware I don't. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there's one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. Well, now that I've explained it, you're thinking, well, dummy, how could you possibly have read that since you were a teenager and not realize that people are thinking about, well, we didn't, when I was a teenager, we'd never heard about the law of attraction. We'd never heard about the secret. Those are a little bit more modern terminology. Now, the concepts have been around probably since the dawn of mankind. Well, they have, because self-will. But I just hadn't thought of it in that context. I had not thought of it in the context of I could make up my mind and the universe is going to just comply. I rather looked at it as make up your mind what you're going to pursue. It's the only way that favorable circumstances will come your way. And I do believe that. I don't believe there's a guarantee favorable circumstances will come your way, but they can, they might. It's kind of like the old Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky quote, you know, you're going to miss all the shots that you don't take. Was it Gretzky that said that? Maybe it was Michael Jordan. Who cares? It was some greatest of all time. The quote that I most love, though, and it needs no explanation. It doesn't need any of the contextual explanation that I've given to you about this other one, and it's much, much shorter. And I would love to give attribution to whoever said it, but sadly, I don't know who said it. I've never been able to find out who said it, and I can't tell you where I first came across it, but I wrote it in a notebook 100 years ago. Okay, 99 years ago. Everything is hard until it's easy. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, the reality of that and how true that is. my son and his family, they went skiing over the holidays. They went up to Colorado. And his kids range in age from 9 to 5. There's 3 of them. And they had limited exposure. I mean, come on, we live here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Had limited exposure to snow. Well, even if they did have snow, we don't have hills, right? It's flat as a pancake. But they're all good skaters. They can skate. So their balance is good and all that. Well, Kinsley, the oldest, the daughter, snowboarding. And from, I don't know, I've never snowboarded and I've never skied. But from what I'm told, snowboarding is more difficult. And she was having a time of it and falling a lot. But, you know, the minute that she kind of got a hold of it, okay, well, everything's hard until it's easy. Right? I mean, you're falling and you're falling. Then all of a sudden, I'm not falling. And, hey, I got this. I got this. I don't remember learning to ride a bike. But it seems to me I've got some recall of it being difficult. But it's never been difficult since. Right? I haven't been on a bike in a long time. I've got one. I could go out there and hop on that bike right now, and I would have no trouble at all. I mean, zero trouble. Everything's hard till it's easy. So that's kind of the whole genesis and the whole thought process and even a few quotes to kind of help you along to figure out this whole leaning toward wisdom thing. You know, today, well, it's not 1997, and in 1997, I'm going to have to do math here, right? Live podcasting math. I'm thinking I was 40 years old. Yeah, that's right. I would have been 40 years old when I first put my audio online, and I did it under the auspices of Leaning Toward Wisdom. Now, again, it wasn't a podcast. It was just an audio file, and I'm sure I have it somewhere. No, you can't find it online. The podcast has gone through multiple iterations, and the first episode that you'll find now is the most recent iteration of this podcast, and there have been at least 3 other kind of versions of the podcast before, so I got a lot of audio that I do have recorded. It is kind of libraried on hard drives, but it's not out there on the internet. What you find over at Leaning Toward Wisdom is everything that is live now. So it's all that's available. I'm 63 now. So 23 years of living, and yes, I would tell you quite a lot has changed. If you go to my personal website, randycantrell.com, you'll see the tagline, "Just a Man in Search of an Epiphany." And that really began as a joke with a buddy of mine who lives up in Kentucky. And I had told him for years, you know, "I'm just a man in search of an epiphany." And he always kind of got tickled by it. And it just kind of stuck. And I've just kind of lived with it. I've had a few. By the time I was 40, I'd had a few epiphanies, that is. I've had a few since I was 40. I don't know, you know, I wouldn't call it a great many, but I have over there at randycantrell.com, for those of you that are curious, as my emailer was, to know more about my background, if it helps you at all. There are 100 questions answered. I don't know when I did this, but I did it a while back. 100 questions answered. The first question, I'm not going to go through them all. You can read them on your own. Who is your hero? And my answer is, I don't have heroes. I never have. And that's true. And it goes through a variety of different kinds of things, and you can read it on your own. The 100th question is, who knows you best? And my answer was, I'd assume my wife, but even she will tell you she's not quite sure. And then I wrote, and this is truth, the likely answer is nobody. But yeah, Rhonda's going to be the closest. And by the way, yesterday, January the 2nd, 2021, was wedding anniversary number 43. So you would think Yeah, you would think that that's got to be who knows me best. So those are the, there's 100 questions. There's 98 others. You'll have to go read those for yourself. There's also a page called Factoids. And I don't know. I do occasionally get this question that this emailer. And so it just gave me a place to kind of direct people and say, you know, I mean, if you want to know more, then, you know, here you go. You know, it begins, some of these things are well known if you listen to my podcast for any length of time, and others are more, well, remote. And so, and it's not in any particular order. It's just a variety of things that range everything from music to if you believe in personality typing. And I'm not saying that I do, yeah, but some of it is, it's really intriguing to me. But now I'm a person who, how do you feel about assessments? How do you feel about various assessments, whether they're skill assessments or whether they are personality assessments or whether they are communication style assessments or work style? How do you have a feeling about those? I love them. I love them. And I don't love them because I necessarily feel like they're all factual. I just, it's kind of like, you know, anything that might give me some shred of insight about myself, I'm in. In fact, it was probably 2 years ago, and I have not done it yet. Jordan Peterson, are you a fan of Jordan Peterson? I just find the guy just stinking brilliant. I mean, he's just stinking brilliant. And Jordan Peterson, you can Google it. He's written some books and he's got a new book written. He's a psychology professor. I believe the University of Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. He's a Canuck, but he's brilliant. And he did a program called self-authoring, like a book author. And he had these assessments and this thing that you kind of work through it. It's an online writing program to help you explore your past, present, and future is how it's marketed. And he was selling them relatively inexpensive at the time, and I bought it. I haven't done it yet. It's been sitting here in my to-do box for 2 years, and so I'm kind of committed that this is the year I'm going to do it. I don't know why I've delayed, but I have. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by those things. So when you go over to randycantrell.com and you click on Factoids, you will see a little bit of that kind of stuff. Myers-Briggs, for instance. And many people say Myers-Briggs is just absolute garbage, junk science. And other people say, oh, it's spot on. It's, I mean, you've got one extreme or the other. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I think it's got some valid observations, but I mean, can we distill basic human beings down to 16? I think that's what it is. 16 personality types. I don't know. I don't have the brain power for that. I can tell you that one interest that I have, and I'm very open about this, if I could go back in time and be smarter. So, come on. I mean, if you're going to be able to go back in time, you might as well want to be smarter. Two, if you can do one, you could surely do the other. Unfortunately, I can't go back in time, and unfortunately, I lack the brain power to really understand neuroscience, but it's really intriguing to me. Very few things in life interest me as much as psychology, neuroscience, the brain, and I'm increasingly interested in brain chemistry and those sorts of things. But alas, I have to give way to those of you that are much, much smarter than me. So there you go. I don't know if any of that's helpful to you, but it's one way to start off the new year by telling you a little bit about myself. And before we kind of wind down, let me kind of give you my personal, what should we call these? My personal kind of dreams and goals and ambitions for this new year. First of all, I'll work from the inside out, from being very, self-centered, although hopefully in a noble way. I'm really hopeful that I can be the absolute best version of myself up to this point in my life ever in 2021. I can't tell you that I've approached every year with that ambition. I'd love to tell you that I'm that noble, but I'm not. But I'm very intentional this year in thinking there are so many things that I now would like to put behind me, and I would like to kind of press forward. And it's interesting. I was watching, and I already had this in mind and kind of had this on my notes, but this morning, today, because remember, I'm recording this on Sunday, January the 3rd, 2021. Well, this morning, on Sunday morning, CBS with Jane Pauley, Chris Rock was being interviewed. And I don't profess to know. I know who he is and enough about him, but I don't know that much about him. Haven't kept up with him or anything like that. He's 55, and he was talking about during this pandemic, he's gone through a lot of therapy. He's divorced, admits that, you know, he had committed adultery. He'd not been as good a man as he needed to be. And he admitted to Gail King, who was interviewing him, that he was really working on trying to be a better man. And I thought, well, good for him. You know, good for him, and good for all of us who might be trying that. And I realize it's very easy for us to throw rocks at one another and to think, well, but what about this? And what about the time that you did that? And I sat there and I watched it. And as a Christian, I thought, well, it's, you know, Christ came and died, not because any of us are perfect, but because we're not, and because we need redemption. And other than leaning toward wisdom this year, I really want to lean hard into redemption. And I want to lean hard into making sure I'm redeemed and making sure that the people that I care about, which frankly is everybody, that everybody is redeemed. Again, it's kind of that door number one, door number two scenario. And eternity changes everything. So I'm entering 2021 with that kind of fervor, which is easy to say on January 3rd, right? Let's talk about it on December 30th, shall we? And let's see. We'll see how well I did at that point. Well, I don't know what else to say. When you go to the website, randycantrell.com, you'll see at the very last spiritual growth, and you can read that on your own. But, and you've likely seen this before. It's kind of making the rounds. But somebody emailed me this months ago. 2021 goals. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your heart. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But we can choose our hard. Choose wisely. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. I've also referred to randycantrell.com in today's show. Happy New Year, and let's hope it's a good one. And it's largely going to be up to us to make it so. My name is Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.